Our grandson Liam died last year of a drug overdose. He was 26. Everything we thought we knew has changed. Liam was a college graduate, the son of loving parents with a devoted younger sister. He had gone to Catholic schools. He'd been an altar boy. He had a stable, loving home life with educated, intelligent, and caring parents and a huge extended family. He didn't belong to a gang, didn't grow up in a slum, hadn't been deprived or neglected, but he did become an addict. When we looked back at his life, we searched for answers and we found only questions. He had an inquisitive mind. He was an athlete, a regular kid, but he became an addict. Liam had been struggling with addiction starting in college for more than 5 years. There had been long nights of blinding worry. He would disappear for days, then weeks. His parents tried counseling, both private and with family. He finally agreed to enter a residential treatment program that called for a month-long stay. Liam stayed for a week and then wanted only outpatient counseling. He promised this time would be different. He said he knew he needed to stop taking drugs. He stayed clean for about 4 weeks. You could lose 5 pounds in 4 weeks. You could probably paint 4 rooms in 4 weeks. But you can't quit drugs in 4 weeks. Liam relapsed. The night he died, he told his parents he was going up to his room to take a nap, to call him for dinner. When he didn't come down, they waited a little, called upstairs again, and they went to his room and found him lifeless on his bed. They tried CPR. They called 911. The EMTs could not revive him, and neither could the hospital. When your child dies, you are forever changed. His parents will never recover. My daughter-in-law and I talk often now. It helps us comfort each other. Our granddaughter, Liam's sister, now takes a deep, painful breath before answering the question, "Do you have any brothers or sisters?" It's always a dilemma because the subject of his death is so painful and anything else is denying his life. This drug addiction problem is not confined to certain neighborhoods. Indeed, it's an epidemic, even in our well-off suburbs. President Obama has committed more than $1 billion to address it, but I'm afraid it's merely the tip of the iceberg. And if it's such big news, why my story and why now? Because I want more people to be aware that addiction is not in some other family. It's in my family, and it could be in yours. After decades of anti-drug education, the market for drugs continues to grow. Doctors legally prescribe narcotic addictive painkillers to hundreds of thousands of patients. Last August, the FDA approved the use of OxyContin for children over 11 who have already been on another opioid for 5 or more days. Susan Salamon of Drug Crisis in Our Backyards told me law enforcement can't do much about this because drugs are everywhere, as easy as ordering a pizza. But we can help. In your family, pay attention to warning signs like oversleepiness, inattention, weight loss, poor grooming, many new friends, and frequent overspending. In your community, don't assume law enforcement already knows about a drug location. If you see many cars driving up to a home, stopping for a few minutes and driving off, there's a good chance drugs are involved. Be the busybody. Every time a drug deal happens without legal consequences, the dealers assume they can get away with it again. Don't let them get away with it. Call the police. Talk to other parents. If there's a chance to speak up at a public meeting, take it. If your family has had experience with addiction, tell your story. Liam is gone, and our family is changed forever. I'm telling our story because I believe it can help reduce drug deaths. I'm no longer satisfied to let someone else handle it.